98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Bigley Blast.
The Suns have a lot to prove. They are 8 games under .500, yet react to every victory like they're the best team in the NBA. And now they must show us they're capable of playing hard 2 nights in a row. Now, James Jones also has a lot to prove. And he can start by recruiting, wait for it, Kevin Durant. Look, I don't really like the guy either. A fake tough guy, a co-pilot, and not exactly an alpha male. But he's a phenomenal talent, and if Jones is really this great liaison to modern-day players, there's no reason why he shouldn't get into this game. Start with the favor he just did for LeBron James, handing him Tyson Chandler instead of trying to peddle the veteran at the trade deadline. Surely Jones must be getting something in return somewhere down the line. Now look at it this way. LeBron James would surely want Durant alongside him in Los Angeles, but Durant has a serious image problem. Jumping on James's coattails after jumping to Golden State only makes the situation worse. He's also rumored to be a favorite to land in New York, but their owner is worse than ours. And if he's thin-skinned in the Bay Area, you think that cat can survive Gotham City? So in the end, Phoenix is not a bad alternative, especially since Durant and Devin Booker have gotten to know each other with Team USA, and especially if Jones can call in a chip from LeBron James. And everybody who scoffs at the idea says it can never happen. Well, you're proof at how low the ceiling has dropped in the Valley of the Suns. All right, off we go. Second half of the program, the Bickley Blast, brought to you by Chapman BMW. Test drive the ultimate driving machine. And man, they're not kidding about that. 2 great locations, 1 great experience. Visit ChapmanBMW.com today.
Just to clearly state where I am on this discussion, this is me scoffing and saying, that can never happen.
I know that. I was anticipating you saying exactly what you did. Before we move into this topic, though, I want to point out somebody reacted to our conversation about Jeff Mathis being signed elsewhere. It's Alex Avila time, man.
Oh, no.
This is Gambo's worst nightmare.
Get him a lollipop! Why is Alex Avila playing today?
Because Jeff Mathis signed a 2-year deal in Texas. That's why.
Oh, give him a lollipop.
140 games of Alex Avila.
Give him a lollipop.
Oh.
Give him a lollipop.
I have to do it. I have to do it. I'm trying not to do it.
What are you
Alex
doing?
Avila. Come on, there's more Alexes. Alex Trebek.
Oh. Alex Rodriguez.
Alex Rodriguez.
Alec Baldwin.
Alec Baldwin.
Alex Keaton.
Billy Baldwin. Daniel Baldwin. Doug Baldwin.
Outstanding. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. Now let's talk about the... Yeah.
Just real quick. Steve Wilkes just ruled out Buda Baker.
Buda Baker. Finn Baker.
He's not going to play on Sunday.
That's not good. Anybody else ruled out? Jarrett?
Chad Williams.
Okay.
So Buda Baker's not going to play, huh?
Phil Dawson, Bob Kandichi.
Bob Kandichi?
He deserved to be called Robert with his performance. And DJ Humphries, questionable.
Phil Dawson's questionable again?
That's what it says.
A kicker?
Oh, I didn't decide this.
No, I'm not questioning your toughness.
Bob Kandichi.
That's nice. That's really nice. All right, let's talk Phoenix Suns. Let's get into this. I put pen to paper on this, figuratively speaking. Nobody puts pen to paper anymore. On this subject this morning at ArizonaSports.com, and that is, there's a lot of stuff happening here with the Phoenix Suns, some good, some bad, and I wonder what you can believe in. And let's start with the perspective of James Jones for a moment, because James Jones took over for Ryan McDonough, and he's made one move, and that is Jamal Crawford. And people thought, look, you got Troy Daniels. Troy Daniels shoots the lights out. Do you really need Jamal Crawford? Well, Jamal Crawford brings a little more. He's a very good veteran. He's got a great reputation inside the NBA. Can organize an offense, can lead an offense a little bit in a pinch. And he's been part of this Do we call it a success story? He's been part of this, whatever it is we've seen over the last six quarters of basketball. When you put these last two games together and you carve the Oklahoma City game at halftime, and I do because I saw a different team take the court in the third quarter. Now, granted, Oklahoma City was way ahead and had no incentive of really even paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
But in those six quarters against the Thunder and the Spurs, the Suns have outscored those two teams 177 to 150. They've won four of the six quarters, outscored those two teams by 27 in the second half of one game and in the full one game.
It's a good starting point.
Good starting point. DeAndre Ayton posterizing an opponent. Good starting point. Devin Booker calling out his team and then feeding his team the way he did with the 12 assists the other night. That's a good starting point. Somewhere in between all this madness was this Tyson Chandler move that infuriated us, but we really haven't really gotten to the why of it. And that is Tyson Chandler. You could have held on to him for a while. You could have let him go near the trade deadline. You could have tried to trade him at the trade deadline. There was nothing about Tyson Chandler that needed to get up and out of here because he's a professional. He's not going to be a problem in the locker room. So, and there's a lot of people, and I mean a lot of anonymous NBA sources, who are clinging to the story that James Jones did a solid for LeBron James, who was getting very antsy with what was happening in Los Angeles and wanted Tyson Chandler now. So we got him. Is there a payback coming? And could that payback be a guaranteed audience with Kevin Durant? A lot of it just sounds like stacking dominoes on top of dominoes and the whole thing's going to fall apart if you blow on it. But if you think it through, Kevin Durant is not going to stay in Golden State. And I think Draymond Green saw to that. And the reports out of Golden State this morning are very much the Warriors fearing that there is no way Kevin Durant's staying with them after this year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I said yesterday that I'm convinced he's going to Los Angeles. When I started thinking about it, Kevin Durant, you would have to resign yourself to a lifetime of mockery if you left Oklahoma City for an NBA team that won 73 games, then left that NBA team because they told you to leave and we don't need you. And then you went and jumped on LeBron James's cape or his whatever. Nobody, I think, would find much respect for that. Now, maybe that's good enough for that. Maybe that's good enough for Kevin Durant.
Okay.
So I'm just speculating.
Okay.
So New York has surfaced as the number one destination is where he's likely to go. And that makes sense. You go to the Eastern Conference. If you could lead a renaissance of the Knicks, that's bring back the magic to Madison Square Garden. That'd be a big deal. That would be a feather in his proverbial cap.
Mm-hmm.
But New York's a tough market, and that owner is a jerk face. And I'm not sure you want to play in New York City, especially if you're thin-skinned and passive-aggressive like Kevin Durant. So could the stars align where James Jones could make a solid pitch to Kevin Durant? That's the question. My point is, as a former player, as LeBron James's favorite ex-teammate, as a guy who supposedly has built that bridge to the locker room and understands modern-day players, I'd be disappointed if he didn't throw his hat in that ring.
Again, this is me scoffing and saying this is never going to happen.
Because it never does in Phoenix?
Almost never. We know that LeBron James, a few years back, gave the Suns a meeting. Granted them a meeting. That was a victory.
Yep.
I know James Jones and LeBron James are boys. The Tyson Chandler thing, there was a use for the Suns, too. Tyson Chandler wasn't fitting in here anymore. He was not a negative. I don't think he sapped the energy on the court or anything, but let's face it, over his three-plus years in Phoenix, there were times where he wasn't even with the team. He had a lot of off-the-court personal issues, too, if you want to connect the dots with the whole Trevor Ariza thing. He wasn't there a lot. He certainly didn't help foster a winning culture. Stuff like that won't happen with the Phoenix Suns until the Phoenix Suns are a legitimate perennial playoff team.
What if
if Devin Booker continues his elevation and he takes them to a place, and it's not going to happen by next summer, if he takes them to a place where they're competing for championships, they'll get meetings like this.
Yeah.
This is not, hey, we're going to throw you Tyson Chandler I don't get the connection at all. I appreciate you bringing it up, but I think it's beyond a pipe dream.
Okay, and I don't understand why you feel that, but I will say this. When you look at what James Jones did for LeBron James, if indeed that's how it went down, would you be disappointed if there wasn't some quid pro quo involved, if there wasn't something that he gets out of it? If only LeBron James starts telling people through the grapevine, hey, go give Phoenix a chance. If only Rich Paul suddenly starts steering clients to James Jones, wouldn't you be disappointed if he didn't do something?
But why would LeBron James do that if he's in the market to get Kevin Durant to Los Angeles?
Okay.
I mean, there's now, friendship, well, and then there's just stupidity.
No, again, that's where the paths of the speculation diverge. If Kevin Durant has decided he's going to go play with the Lakers, then all of this is nonsense. But my point is Kevin Durant is suffering from making a big move, winning a championship, and not finding the redemption or the joy or what he had hoped he would accomplish by being part of an NBA championship team. That's pretty obvious to me.
Mm-hmm.
You go and you be part of LeBron's crew. Maybe it's going to feel good and defined and all, and you can hide behind LeBron. And maybe that's all good. Maybe that's what he's intending to do. In fact, I'd still
put he's already done once in his career.
I know that. But I started thinking maybe he's going to have to get completely out of that and write his own redemption story. The only reason LeBron's in Los Angeles is because he went back to Cleveland, righted that wrong, and then took off again.
Yeah, so
and nobody blames him.
The redemption story for Kevin Durant, should he choose to go down that path, lands him in Oklahoma City. That's
okay,
the only
I'll
place where redemption is achieved
but
for Kevin Durant.
I don't know if Oklahoma City wants him.
That might be the case too, but that's the only place redemption happens.
Okay,
Kevin
I'm
Durant.
With you.
Let's play your game. Kevin Durant next summer says, "Man, those clubs in Scottsdale—they're legit. I love this place. I'm signing with the Suns for 4 years." Do you know it just doesn't make any sense based on what we've seen from him in his career, being close to the mountaintop and choosing to opt out of being close to the mountaintop.
Being close to the mountaintop and opting to jump in a helicopter.
Yeah, to get to the other mountaintop.
Yeah, right, okay. All right, I hear you. Now play along with this.
And the Suns, very likely, Bick, next year are going to be a team trying to attract free agents to town on the strength of a 25-win season.
Okay. The Suns are at base camp still, let me put it that way.
Yeah.
Not near the mountaintop.
Okay, all right. Now, let's pivot off this and think about this. What is this basketball team really going to look like by the end of the season when Kevin Durant walks from Golden State?
It's going to be younger than it is now.
Okay, now let me ask you your opinion on this. If you paint a picture that we've got another launching point for this team in terms of that game, that win against San Antonio, is there any way this team can completely flip the script on their season? And I don't mean become a winning team, but there are a lot of basketball teams that have gotten off to awful starts and then put together really impressive streaks out of nowhere. Is that impossible with the Phoenix Suns if DeAndre Ayton plays with the aggression we saw last game, if Mikal Bridges continues to develop and get extended minutes, if the team finds a better juju and energy and mojo without Trevor Ariza and Ryan Anderson? Is any of that at all possible? And if it is, then maybe this team will look like, hey, I'm the only guy they're missing. It depends on what this basketball team does going forward. I'm disappointed. I'll be very disappointed if James Jones does not have an ace up his sleeve of some sort. Doesn't even have to be Kevin Durant. We spitballed on Markelle Fultz earlier. We're still waiting on a point guard to arrive. He's going to trade Trevor Ariza back to the Rockets, so it seems. Josh Jackson, who is going to join this radio program shortly.
Uh-huh.
What if now something has happened and he continues to develop? Is it impossible that this team might look attractive to a guy like Kevin Durant? Especially if he really does like Devin Booker, and especially if he really does like Scottsdale. And he's been on the record as saying both. Now, you can say that about anybody and any player in any market. I get it. But if you're Kevin Durant and you need a mountain of your own to climb, it's not a bad one here.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
the last free agent, top flight free agent. Yeah, it was Steve Nash. There's a really short history of top flight free agents coming to Phoenix, Arizona.
And he's nowhere near what Kevin Durant would be.
No, Kevin Durant is arguably the best player in the game right now. Mm-hmm. Steve Nash, I remember that being treated or greeted with lukewarm enthusiasm when Steve Nash came back from several people. It worked out famously, obviously. But at the time, they were like, wow, Steve Nash have anything left in the tank? A 30-plus year-old point guard? So really, if you want to go further back, Tom Chambers was the last top flight free agent. And that's ironic, too, because he was the first top flight free agent. And he came to Phoenix and he changed the course of the franchise. Look, Kevin Durant, I think the trend in the NBA, too, for top flight free agents is moving away from these tours where they're going to get pitched and presented by all these different teams. A lot of that happens out of the purview of the public. These guys, when free agency hits, they want to make their decision, announce it quick, and move on. And I think that's certainly a trend. Kevin Durant, okay, let's say he's considering Phoenix. Who was the last semi-big free agent to sign in Phoenix? Well, you'd have to go back to last summer, Trevor Ariza.
Mm-hmm.
How'd that work out?
Horribly. Horribly.
You don't think he's going to gauge these things?
Yeah, I'm sure he will. I'm sure he will. I just hope that there is some quid pro quo here. Otherwise, that's too much of a solid to do for LeBron James. And maybe it was just really, like I said, maybe it was a move for future. Listen, man, I got your back here, but you got to help me turn around this organizational image. You got to help me. Okay, I got you. I'll call
we
Rich.
We don't have any guarantee that James Jones will be orchestrating free agency next summer. We don't even have that assurance.
Are you joking? You don't think he's going to be named full-time GM?
Why hasn't it happened yet? I know for a fact they don't like the interim tag. Nobody likes the interim tag. Why has it been on him for 6 weeks?
Maybe they're still waiting to see if he can.
Robert Sarver loves James Jones. What in the world could James Jones do now to sabotage himself?
One time, Robert Sarver loved Ryan McDonough. And at one time, Robert Sarver loved Jeff Hornacek. And at one time, he loved Earl Watson. And at one time, he loved Jay Triano. And at one time, he loved Terry Porter. And at one time, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah. Drop the mic, Vinny.
But maybe he's waiting to see if he actually gets the point. They're still waiting for something. We all thought when McDonough got fired and Jones got hired, that meant, oh, the point guard is coming, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so far, all...
Jamal Crawford?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. The phone.
That's the only one
you,
so far.
But you don't
so
think...
So maybe we're there waiting to see what he actually does as GM.
Look, Kevin Durant's a different kind of dude, all right? I've been around him a little bit. Who's to say Devin Booker couldn't get in his ear? I'm just saying, yeah, I'm almost as skeptical as you are about it happening, but that's part of the problem. Part of the problem is that we become so conditioned to, it's never going to happen here. Guys tell us no all the time. Somebody's got to change that.
They had to overpay to get Trevor Ariza to come here.
I know that. So the only way it does work, the only way that this wild scenario even has a chance is if this basketball team takes what they've done the last six quarters and makes it the new normal. That's the only way. That's the only way it can happen. They've beaten Mavericks aren't a good team. They've beaten two good teams.
Hey, the Mavericks beat Utah by 50 the other night.
I saw that. So to me, there's something there when they get it right, when they apply themselves, and I'm not going to discount this DeAndre Ayton thing, because the guy just to post the double doubles so effortlessly to the point where he posts them and he gets ripped for them. No telling what's going to happen if the last game was a revelation for him. If now the stardust has blown out of the air, and now he's ready to ball.
It very well could be a revelation, but that does not guarantee that that's what we see from now on. I mean, the NBA, the superstars of the NBA are that because they do it every single night.
Yep. It's true.
LaMarcus Aldridge is not a superstar. He's a really good player. But we saw, like, the bad side of LaMarcus Aldridge the other night, too. He was not engaged, and he got dominated by a rookie.
Yep.
DeAndre Ayton, the light bulb might have gone on, but he's still going to have those games. The Suns, the light bulb is going to go on at times during this year. I think they're going to finish. And, when we were last asked this question, I wasn't willing to move off my projected win total, which was in the low 30s. Guess what? I'm ready to move off that projected win total. This is not a very good basketball team. I'm looking at 25 kind of as a ceiling right now, which would be a major disappointment. 25 win teams, I don't care who the general manager is. They don't land the top free agents.
Okay, I'm with you on that. I know. I understand that. I just think that if Kevin Durant isn't going to Los Angeles, why would he go to New York? He'd go to New York because he needs his own mountain to climb. Are the Knicks in better shape than the Phoenix Suns right now? Well, I mean, it's New York.
It's New York.
It's also very, very, very far away from Draymond Green.
I'm gonna revisit something we brought up earlier in the show.
Yeah.
I'm going to pull the Dave Burns here. If Kevin Durant ends up next season wearing a Phoenix Suns uniform, I don't know what I'll do to that crow.
Okay.
Wow.
That's Dave.
Wow. Something was really funny on that show. I've listened to that show. It's not that funny.
I must have been listening to that show.
Was that him from Mock My World?
Okay, look, and don't get this twisted, because I hate when people, when we become so cynical that the only way you can react to that is, you're out of your mind, Bickley. That's not what I'm saying here. But take it seriously. Make it a goal. See if you can make it happen. He's got to play somewhere next year. Right?
It won't be here.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
Okay. I'm just trying to lift you up.
I appreciate that, too.
You got it.
Man, this is a dude that needs some lifting right now. Garth Brooks, the number one selling solo artist in U.S. history, makes his electrifying return to Arizona at State Farm Stadium on March 23rd. Tickets for the Garth Brooks Stadium Tour are on sale now, but you can win a pair right now by visiting the rewards page at arizonasports.com. Can the Cardinals get a fairy tale win this weekend if they don't have a Buddha, a Baker, a big playmaker? Jared Carlin, ladies and gentlemen. Bickley Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Football Friday with Bickley and Murata. Powered by Ram Trucks. Built to serve. 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
I think it'll be more of a game time decision. I will say this. I mean, the one thing about Buda Baker is he is tough as nails. So if he can play or if he even has a shot at it, I'll expect to be ready to go. But, he's one of the bright spots on our defense so far this year for me. He has played lights out and continues to do more and more things within this defense that excites you.
All right, before we move on with the Arizona Cardinals, somebody on Twitter pointed out what we had missed in our Gambo promo. We know we missed Penny Hardaway.
Yes.
We missed Joe Buck, 50 yeah. Cent, Elizabeth Banks, James Bond, Marcus Banks.
Mm-hmm. Was there ever an athlete named Cheddar?
CeeLo Green.
Cheddar Thompson.
There you go. I don't think there's ever been a Cheddar. There's been no Dimes. There's been no Nickels.
Nickel Roby. Nickel.
Right, right.
We could go on forever.
We could. But we won't.
Travis Buck. Terry Sawbuck.
Jared, are you feeling as bad as Vinny's feeling? No, you're right.
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. I'm just shows behind the scenes show stuff going on.
Okay, I got you. Right. Is there some stuff going on?
Well, the practice is running a little late, so I'm scheduling
Jackson. I see.
Looking like maybe 1 or 1:15, so I'm just trying to read.
Are you talking about the Suns' practice is running late?
Yeah.
See, they're taking it seriously now, Vinny. It's all changed for the better, homie. They're taking it seriously.
You know what? I disregard everything I said in the previous segment. Kevin Durant is coming.
He's on his way. He's on his way here. Okay, so
That was Steve Keim, by the way, this morning, talking about Buda Baker. It's kind of immaterial now because Buda Baker's been ruled out for Sunday's game against Oakland. And that's a big loss for this Cardinals defense, which we've seen when they've had to tweak their personnel, especially at the safety position, it hasn't worked out that well.
Yeah.
Trey Boston has been good and bad at times. Antoine Bethea's kind of been a rock. Buda Baker was a rock, but not having Buda Baker, I mean, that's this year probably their best secondary playmaker.
No,
would
it
you
hurts.
Agree?
Yeah, no, this one hurts. I would definitely agree with that. And the Cardinals' pass defense this year has been really good, and it's mostly because Patrick Peterson still has a great rating as a cover corner, as a shutdown guy, and Buda Baker has been a great playmaker. Buda Baker is just he's incredibly smart. The more I watch him, the more I appreciate just the way he processes things on the football field. When, you know what I mean? He's just a smart kid.
Mm-hmm.
That's a tough loss to overcome. DJ Humphreys being questionable for the game worries me. You know what I mean?
It should.
So this football game is going to be a pivot point possibly for the head football coach, Steve Wilks, because I do think this, if the Cardinals come out and road grade the Raiders and dominate the Raiders and just have a nice tidy victory, something we haven't seen in a while, I really believe that hot seat list that regenerates every Monday across the internet nationwide, Steve Wilks won't be on it if they beat the Raiders, because there will be this perception that he's stabilized, that this was mostly a Mike McCoy issue, this was a Sam Bradford issue, they took some wrong paths, but now they've got this thing straightened out, the head coach hasn't lost the locker room, he's fine. That's some
important
stuff.
I agree with you, in the aftermath, the immediate aftermath of a win, if it does take place, and a convincing win like we are expecting over the Raiders, that Steve Wilks, his place on those lists will be temporarily lost.
Okay.
I think he can find his way back on. I'm not going to be one to read in too much to what we see on Sunday, even if it is a four-touchdown win by the Cardinals.
Okay.
This is a historically bad team they're playing.
Yes, it is. I would say this, though. If they dispatch the Raiders, I do think it's going to settle things down. If they lose to the Raiders by any chance, or don't play well, yes, there's time to get that back. But you know how public opinion can shape stories in the NFL. It's more so, I would say, than any other sport, because there are so many fans and the anger is so profound when these teams do not win, that it's going to make everything very, very difficult. It's going to be hard for the players to buy in, to believe, to stay integrated and feeling good about what they're doing, because the noise will be so bad if they can't beat
the
Raiders.
And I don't want to be all doom and gloom, and I have been for a good portion of this football season.
A good portion of your life.
That too. Just carried over to football season. There's some positive things going on. I don't know if you heard this cut from Larry Fitzgerald about leadership, about him being a leader. And here's the way he deflected that question.
No. You know, I've had my time on top of the hill, and you know, he's a quarterback. He's the guy that you hear his voice in every single huddle. He touches the ball every single time. It's best when your quarterback is your leader, because he does so much, and everybody, you know, kind of has to work for him, you know, so to speak, on the field. So it's natural for your quarterback to be the leader, and you know, he's done a great job of it thus far, and it'll only grow, you know, as he gets more experience.
Yeah, here's more from Larry Fitzgerald on that subject.
He's not one of those guys that's going to stand by and let something be bad. He's, hey, that's not right. Hey, I need this to be done better. You know, it doesn't matter if it's me. It doesn't matter if it's an offensive lineman, David Johnson. Like, he's taking ownership. And, you know, this is his ball club. It's going to be his ball club for a very long time. And he's a young franchise.
Man,
I can't believe what I'm hearing.
That might be the most promising thing I've heard all season.
Yeah. First of all, I would never expect Larry Fitzgerald to shirk leadership like that. No, I've had my time at the top of the hill. That is so. If we weren't talking about Josh Rosen, I would say, what the heck are you talking about? But that, I think that right there tells you how legit Josh Rosen has been. in the huddle, in the locker room, the way he treats other people. I'm telling you, this kid and what he has projected since becoming a professional football player has destroyed the stigma and perception that followed him from UCLA. And when you hear him talk about the virtues of leadership, how you attain it, how you engage guys, what you do, his thinking and his articulation of it is so advanced, it's mind-blowing.
He's the young franchise.
He's the young franchise. That's what Fitz called him.
It's also an opportunity for all the talk surrounding Josh Rosen to turn into actual tangible proof. I mean, this is, again, a struggling team coming in. You know, Josh Rosen's best game in terms of quarterback rating this year has been an 88.
That's not good.
That's about the league average for the season so far.
Yeah.
That was the Seattle game. He had a lot of drop passes, and the consensus was he played pretty well. He has not had that, hey, look at me game yet. This is an opportunity for that. Again, is it sustainable to that level? No. But I want to see all the words turn into action now.
I think he had the quarter. I think that he had the hey, look at me moment in that comeback against San Francisco, asterisk, because it was San Francisco.
When they start keeping wins and losses on quarters, then I'll buy more into that.
Okay. I also think that when you look at Josh Rosen and what he did against Kansas City, that's what made me so hopping mad at that offensive line, is it took from Josh Rosen the ability to beat a really good team on the road. So you're right. So let's see if it can all come together. One full game, one awesome performance, one stroll in the park for the Cardinals.
Yeah. Come watch the ASU-Oregon game with Arizona Sports tomorrow at the Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers on Higley and Queen Creek in Gilbert. We'll be giving away ASU gear, tickets to the Territorial Cup in Tucson, and other great prizes from Coors Light. Visit the events page at arizonasports.com for details. Speaking about ASU-Oregon, we'll be joined by SunDevilSource.com editor Chris Cartman. He'll talk Sun Devils and Ducks with us next. Bickley and Murata live from the Ok Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Bickley and Murata.
Thank you for listening. We appreciate that.
The more the merrier, so come on out.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
I like that. That was well done, Jared. The gorillas are a fascinating concept band, but more on them later.
I can't stand them.
Talking about the music. I'm talking about the... Well, no, we won't more on that anywhere.
I have a song that a lot of people like that I can't stand. I didn't answer the other question this week. Clint Eastwood by the Gorillaz is right at the top of that list. Oh, I hate that song. Anywho. I said anywho.
I like it.
ASU and Oregon. Saturday night, late start, 8:30 Phoenix time kickoff from Autzen Stadium. Big game for the Sun Devils as they want to stay in the driver's seat in the Pac-12 South. Here to talk about it with us from SunDevilSource.com, the editor, Chris Cartman, joins us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. What's up, Chris?
Hey, doing great. How are you guys doing?
Good. Did you ever expect that this ASU-Oregon game would have this much weight for the Sun Devils at any point this season?
Well, no, but I did think ASU would do better than the general consensus out there. I picked ASU to finish third in the Pac-12 South, but I thought maybe ASU would be 4-5 or 5-4 in the conference. But you couldn't really have anticipated that the South as a whole would be this poor.
Yeah.
It's been a really bad year.
Going back to when you did pick them to finish third, when you were at Pac-12 Media Day, did you get grief for that? I mean, when you guys compare votes, did people say, what are you thinking, picking ASU third?
A little bit. It was more so curiosity, like what are we not seeing from other people? And I really think that there was a big Herm bias. Like, as if Herm Edwards was going to come in and, you know, start making these huge, you know, missteps. And ASU had too many pieces coming back to be considered a team that would win two or three games or something like that. And they've been in a lot of close games and they've lost some, but they've gone on a good run here of late.
All right, let's talk about the evolution of the offense, because it feels to me like these two teams might be trending in different directions. Not that that means anything in a very wacky Pac-12 season, But it looks like the offense has real balance now, and this offensive line has grown in ways that I'm not sure a lot of people thought. Your thoughts on the evolution of them?
I think you're making a great point there, Dan. Essentially, what happened is Herm Edwards trusted Rob Likens at the outset to put the offense together in the way that he had envisioned it. And then after they lost to San Diego State, they sort of collectively realized we need to go in a little bit of a different direction. They started putting in a lot of the gap scheme runs that got, Benjamin really going, starting against Washington and then in subsequent weeks. And then they realized, okay, we have to actually build off of this now with a lot more play actions, bootlegs, and things that are more quick hitting in our passing game. And they started to build that in, I think, really around the bye week. It seemed to take hold. And so it's been a multi-stage phasing in that led to ASU possessing the ball 12 minutes in the fourth quarter of the Utah win. And then last week against UCLA, they had an eight-minute scoring drive, which was their longest of the season in the fourth quarter. So really they are operating as effectively as they have all season here in the last few weeks.
Chris Cartman, the editor of SunDevilSource.com, our guest here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. One of the concerns for ASU, obviously, is the health of N'Keal Harry. He's been nicked up a couple times in the last few games. Is there any update on his status or his health level going into this game on Saturday, Chris?
Well, Herm Edwards was emphatic that N'Keal Harry is going to play. He didn't do anything on Tuesday, actually came out, tried to give it a go, seemed to be testing out some heavily taped ankles and pulled the plug on it right away. Then Wednesday, we didn't see him at all out there. Thursday is really more of a glorified walkthrough with a lot of special teams. He was out there, but I don't know exactly how much that he was able to participate. But I do believe he's going to play, and there was nothing in the UCLA game that looked like any sort of a serious injury, so it was a little bit surprising. But that's something that we're definitely going to have to watch in addition to a couple guys in the secondary, Jalen Harvey and DeMonte King, who are both playing through pain tolerance type injuries.
All right, the loss of Merlin Robertson for a half, how do you think that's going to affect the team? Do you think maybe the fact that it happened early last week that jarred the defense a little bit but got them used to maybe playing without him will help? Or how do you think that's going to impact this game?
Well, the main thing really is that it's a call to J.J. Wilson that he's needed. And he got in trouble before the season even started due to a disciplinary issue, missed a couple games, and he came back and played in three games and then hurt his ankle. And before the season, Antonio Pierce, ASU's linebackers coach, was saying that he should be an all-league caliber player, and that just hasn't materialized. Now, the new NCAA rule allows him to play in no more than four games and still redshirt. He has one more game available. So there's a possibility that he plays in this game, and I think he's going to start, actually, in place of Merlin Robertson and still preserve another year of eligibility if he doesn't play subsequent to this. But they just need him to play to his capability. If he does so, he really shouldn't actually be much of a drop-off from Merlin Robertson. Yeah. And he looked healthy to me in the last couple of weeks in practice. Elsewhere, Tyler Johnson's really coming into his own as a redshirt freshman linebacker. He's made a couple of big plays in each of the last few games. And Darian Butler, for a freshman, has a lot of reps under his belt now and is doing quite well.
Chris Cartman, our guest here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Looking at the opponent, Chris, I mean, what's your take on Oregon at this point? Obviously, the Pac-12 North has been of better quality, but they've had an up-and-down season themselves with a first-year head coach. What is your take on them going into this game?
Well, I think recruiting let them down the last couple years because they don't have enough skill players to surround Justin Herbert. He's a great talent, but really they have Dylan Mitchell, who's a very good receiver that they creatively try to get the ball to as many times as they can. But other than that, their surrounding talent is pretty average. And they've had some injuries with their offensive line. I thought they'd be a little bit further along. Structurally, they've changed a little bit this year under the coaching staff, and it seems to be a transitional year in that respect. Not as much of the up-tempo and not as much of the misdirections zone reads and RPO stuff in their passing game. And then defensively, I really thought they'd be further ahead in the second year under Jim Leavitt because he was such a good coordinator at Colorado, but they haven't taken that step from year one to year two. And now there's like some rumblings up there that Mario Cristobal is not really extremely happy with the way things are going defensively with Jim Leavitt. And so that's a whole nother thing to watch. And they've had a bunch of injuries as well. It seems like when Oregon plays well, you know it right away.
Yeah.
Like you know it in the first quarter.
Yeah, I agree with that. All right. Of all the different climate changes, weirdness of this game, playing at night after three straight day games, the dark, the weather, the wet, the cold, all of it, how much of that is a factor and what makes you apprehensive about this game if you're ASU?
I think it matters. Not so much the night game, but playing in the cold in the Pacific Northwest, ASU's really struggled. I think they've only won three times in Oregon going back over 20 years. And certainly Oregon had a rolling and was doing great under Chip Kelly, so that skews it a little bit. But ASU fans remember just what it's been like going up there and taking some tough losses. That 2014 game, Oregon State, when it was really cold as an example. I think it's about mental toughness and it's about being focused on what's ahead of you and not thinking about a lot of that external stuff that's outside of your control and having good habits. So this is a good test, I think, in that respect for Herm Edwards early on in his tenure. And they can't worry about what happens in the other games. That's another thing. It's like people are talking about the Utah-Colorado earlier in the day. Well, and ASU is going to know what it needs to do, by the time it kicks off. And then you have Arizona-Washington State playing at the same time. If you distract yourself with those things, I think that can hurt you more than help you.
Yeah. Chris, great stuff as always. We appreciate the time, man.
My pleasure. Thanks
all
a
right,
lot.
Thanks. Chris Cartman, editor of SunDevilSource.com, our guest on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. That's CoulterTempe.com, Coulter on Camelback.com, and CoulterNissan.com. Coming up, we head into hour number four on this Football Friday. NFL headlines coming up. Also, a visit with Suns forward Josh Jackson. Bickley and Murata live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.